Hello, and welcome to a podcast about different varieties of English language. It's not a secret that English has become a global language, lingua franca on many continents and in many parts of the world, for various reasons, among which there are colonization by Brits, the American economy boost after the Second World War, or just simply the coolness of English language with the spread of American culture and many more. In this episode, I'd like to tell you about the variety which appeared because the British Empire invaded and colonized this area 1819 due to a number of economic and geopolitical factors. And by this time, you've just probably guessed it right, it's Singapore English. I've chosen this variety because it's always been of an interest for me to see what language people speak in a country whose education system has been ranked as one of the highest in the world, in a country where rapid economic growth goes hand in hand with the highest fines for just throwing chewing gum in the street, and in a country which is not actually a country, but a city-state. So, firstly, I'm going to briefly tell you about the historical background of Singapore English. Then I'll distinguish between Singapore English and Singlish. Yes, they're different. And afterwards, the rest of the time, I'll discuss grammatical features of Singlish. So, how come that on a faraway Asian island, one of the four official languages among Malay, Mandarin, and Tamil is English? Well, surprise, surprise, colonialism. In the context of British colonization, the Brits acquired the island of Singapore and created there a trading post which was notable for its favorable location. And as the language of colonizers, English spread throughout the country and was considered valuable for its development. Platt and Weber, the scholars who have been studying Singapore English variety, highlight six factors that helped English to gain its popularity during that time, among which there are the expansion of commerce, the popularity of films in English, increased access to education, and more. During the British rule, Singapore grew massively, and when 1965 it gained independence, English language was officialized along with three others that I've mentioned earlier. So, being brought to an Asian island and artificially assimilated, English language had obviously no chances to be the exact same as in Britain at the level of everyday communication. So there we have to define what is exactly meant by the term Singapore English. When talking about Singapore English, the language of government, administration, and education is understood, and its official name sounds like Standard Singapore English, and it shows actually no significant differences from the standard English around the globe. But what is of a particular interest for me is the colloquial Singapore English, often being referred to as Singlish. These two variants exist in a relationship that's called diglossia, and it basically means that the standard variant is used in all official instances and has a high level of formality, whereas Singlish is spoken in all other communicative situations. While being the language of an everyday informal use, the variety of Singlish exhibits major differences from the standard English and is of the main importance for me now. So it's time to discuss how Singlish differs from the standard form. I'm mainly going to focus on the grammatical features, but it's worth mentioning that there are obviously phonetical and lexical differences. So, in this part, I'd like to tell you about such phenomena as topic prominence and, in its context, the noun phrase deletion, copular deletion, and discourse particles. To start with, topic prominence is quite a conspicuous feature that is considered as a basic word order in Singlish. It generally means that the topic of the sentence is being placed at the beginning and won't be mentioned further. For example, Christmas, we don't celebrate because we are not Christians. This probably happens under the influence of Chinese language, where such word order is grammatically correct. So, in our example, the topic of the sentence, Christmas, is being placed at the beginning and is expressed in a noun phrase. But it's not always the case, and other parts of speech can be also topicalized. For instance, too slow, la, I find that printer. This sentence also features another phenomenon, which I hopefully said correctly, but about it later. So, once the topic is established, it's no longer needed to mention it later, and here the noun phrase deletion comes into play. It's simply unnecessary to repeat the subject later when both speakers are aware whom they're talking about, or when it's clear from the context. For example, two people have been talking about a specific car, and one of the interlocutors says, "Very expensive, you know," meaning that car very expensive. This actually seems to me quite logical and saves you some time. So, you may have probably already caught by ear that there is something wrong with our last example sentence, and that is the copula deletion. The copula verb to be may be omitted in several cases, such as when the copula links the subject with an adjective, like in our example with the car. When the copula is being followed by the verb with an ing ending, for example, my uncle's staying here. Then with noun phrase, like in the example, what's your dialect, Punjabi? And actually this example may also feature another difference when adding the copula verb at the end, so that the utterance retains its grammatically correct word order that is typical for affirmative sentences, but incorrect for interrogative, and it's called inversion. And the last case, where the verb to be won't be found on its usual place, is with passives. The place called Sunji Bulo, or Sungi Bulo, I'm sorry, I don't know. However, I have to mention here that even though this grammatical feature may be typical for Singlish, its rate of occurrence doesn't exceed 6%, which makes it quite rare, but still it exists. And finally, the last but not the least, and actually my favorite, discourse particles. This feature is very characteristic and distinctive for colloquial Singapore English, which uses a series of close final elements. The number and the exact meaning of these discourse particles may vary, and their origin probably lies in Hokkien and Cantonese languages, according to the scholar Lim. The Singlish particles are usually used to indicate attitude of the speaker to what is being said, and the most prominent of them are two letters A and H, which indicates tentativeness or continuation. Then la, that is a mood marker and can add assertiveness to the utterance. It's used in many different contexts, from happiness to sadness. For example, sorry la, which sounds less formal, or all your fault la, which shows how angry one is. And the number of other particles that sounds like ha, what, ma, ya, le, and so on. And help me illustrate this phenomenon with a TikTok video, well, in our case, just audio track, where you can hear different particles. I hope you will like it.
One day in Singapore. 1 week in Singapore. 1 month in Singapore. 1 year in Singapore. Ah, yeah, I tell you, ah, the Bakuta is very sharp. I give way already, la.
So, we have come to an end, la. And I hope you have enjoyed this brief overview of the grammatical features of colloquial Singapore English, or in other words, Singlish, and that you found something funny or maybe something unusual. And my favorite feature were obviously particles, ma. Tell me about your favorite. All the links and sources you'll find in another document. And at this point, have a nice day or evening at whatever time of the day you listen to this podcast. And bye-bye.